Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah,
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for joining us this evening. You're tuning in to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I am your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and we have our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, with us as well. So we'll get started with our program this evening, and then we'll bring in our co-host, and we start out every week with Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wal-abdalin. Ameen. And in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the world, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee that we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. And we're going to bring in our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and extend to her the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing well. Doing well for a month that's zooming by so fast. We're just about at the end of February already. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for joining us this evening. And we thank everyone for joining us this evening. We're looking forward to a nice show tonight, and we are depending on our radio audience to share your wisdom and insights. We love putting these shows and airing these shows on American Muslim 360. The shows are archived. So someone wanting to know about courtship and marriage and the process and for support with marriage can search these shows and inshallah find some good pearls of wisdom that have been shared not only by our co-host and the host but by our radio audience who share their insights and the wisdom that Allah has blessed them with. And this is a wonderful format to keep it in because it preserves it for the next generation. So we thank you for joining us every Tuesday and for sharing your insights with us here on this program. So last week, if you were not with us, we embarked on a discussion based on an article that was found online. And this article is titled Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtada Ghusal. You can Google this article online. And the publication is actually called Friday Sermon, Towards a Successful and Blissful Marriage by Murtada, M-U-R-T-A-D-H-A, Ghusal. And just did a little more research on the author, and he's actually an imam from Nigeria. He also has a Facebook page. He's got like 7,000 point plus followers on there. But in browsing and perusing the articles and the sermons that he has given, he's addressing some of the same concerns that we are addressing as African Americans in Nigeria. So I thought that that was very interesting. And we had a lot of discussion, even just getting started with the article last week, and people chiming in and sharing commentary on the article. So one of the things that he started out with in this particular article, is that marriage in Islam is a partnership and not bondage or slavery. To consider the wife's one's property is alien to Islamic concept of a husband and wife role. The team spirit is enhanced and not curtailed when members of the team are free to be themselves. And another point that we agreed with, and I'm happy he made this comment, is that when you're choosing our life's partner, we should, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to do, is look for a pious Muslim. The reason is that, inshallah, their first and foremost goal will be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this commitment to Allah makes them an excellent facilitator for enhancing their partner's or spouse's spiritual development. In essence, the couple facilitates their family's commitment to Allah Almighty and His religion. Okay, very, very important. And this is something that we have been stressing here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage since we've been on AM 360. Even prior to this particular show, It's All About Courtship and Marriage, it was a Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we stressed the same concept that how important the taqwa is. The taqwa is the first and foremost, after pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being obedient to Allah and Allah's plan for the human being, which is to marry and procreate, that choosing a mate to facilitate based on taqwa is the best choice that we can make when choosing a mate and choosing someone to share our lives with. Okay. Bina, would you like to share any commentary from last week's show or anything that stood out with you?
I like the way you opened up Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I like the way you opened up this show. It was perfect in that I don't think we covered this information last week, but what he just said in his opening was a mouthful. And It just is the kind of information you would like to hear all the time. You know, it's the kind of information that would make for people really understanding what this sacred bond is about. It's nothing to be toyed with at all. We can talk about this subject on and on and on to infinity, and we still could talk more about it. It's just so deep. It's the essence of what we are. And he put these words and these few words in such a beautiful way that it just kind of gives me goosebumps to think about it. I'm like, really, there's somebody who really, really believes this, who really said this. And inshallah, if he's got that many followers, over 7,000 people, and they're listening to what he's saying, then that is alhamdulillah for all those whose ears have reached this information.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes. And what you said is so important. It's not to be taken lightly. You know, and consider what's at stake when courting, looking for someone to share your life with, your taqwa, your worship, elevating your faith, increasing in knowledge and worship. Increasing in good deeds. Your peace. Your peace is a big one. and tranquility things, fundamental to our way of life, is what you're going to be sharing with your husband or your wife. And so we don't take it lightly. It, at the same time, when we are obedient to what Allah says, Allah has made it easy for us. Allah has made it easy for us, which is why it's so important, I thought, to reemphasize what he said, is that when choosing our life's partner, we should, as Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, advised us, look for a pious Muslim. That obedience to Allah, inshallah, will be there when looking for a pious Muslim. And that is very important because that is going to govern the marriage. Two people striving to be pious Muslims, obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and looking to enhance their spiritual development. Alhamdulillah. So that's why it's important to know why you want to get married. Why do we want to get married? Are we getting married to out of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we getting married to enhance our spiritual development, as the brother just said? Is that a part of our mindset to enhance our spiritual development? Or is it more just for companionship? If it's just for companionship, what is going to govern the marriage? Companionship you offer, the quality of that companionship, you know? So knowing why we want to get married and what is most fundamental to us and most important to us is something that we have to explore on our own prior to preparing for marriage. And Allah lets us know that he places love between us, between our hearts, and that he can cause us to grow in peace and tranquility, covering for each other. All of these things suggest spiritual development. He says the believing man should marry the believing woman, the mukmin for the mukmin, the Muslim for the Muslim. And Allah ranks it in order to let us know that these things are very important, that a believing person, a believing human being, should not marry a disbeliever. That will not bring peace and tranquility. So Allah lays all these things, all of this out for us in the Holy Quran so that we can think and ponder on this. How do we preserve the peace and tranquility? How does peace and tranquility go and grow? You have two people with a desire to be pious Muslims, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's guidance, looking at the motto of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. All this facilitates peace and tranquility. So just to give you a little snapshot of what we talked about last week, if you missed last week's show, we just got started with this article. You might want to go in the archives and listen to last week's show if you missed it. And if you have any trouble finding it, you can email us at our email address, which is halaqa360@yahoo.com, halaqa360@yahoo.com. And we'll be happy to send you the link for last week's show if you missed it. So in addition to the introduction that we have talked about so far, he stated that in the Holy Quran, the Quranic verse or the phrase firm covenant alludes to marriage. Marriage is a binding contract of fidelity between a man and a woman, and that a woman entrusts herself to a man simply because she believes in the strength of the bond. And, you know, that's so basic when you think about it, right? If a woman knew that she was going to marry someone and she was going to become pregnant and he was just going to leave, would she want to marry that person if she knew that going into the relationship? No. That wouldn't be the case. The strength of the bond, the strength of the union, the strength of the family, the strength of the contract, the strength of the commitment, the strength of the taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this cures this relationship where you feel safe entering in this relationship, having a family, having children, being married, and building this long-term established relationship that protects the family now and looking to build for future generations. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about this firm covenant. Women or men wouldn't go into a relationship where this was not present. Just as a woman wouldn't go into a relationship like that, a man wouldn't go into a relationship like that either. If he knew that he was going to have, okay, we're going to have children, but yeah, she can just up and run away and take the children and never see them again. If that's not this firm covenant, firm commitment, would he choose her as a wife? No, he wouldn't. So then that tells us what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has impressed upon us in our nature, in our creation, to honor firm covenants, to write contracts and honor them, to be honorable, to be committed to what's good and what Allah has established for us. So it's within our very nature. So I'm going to stop there. And we're going to take our first pause for the cause. And then when we come back, we'll review the two items that we did preview last week. He has a list here of characteristics that should be a part of this process when we are looking for a mate. So last week we went over number one and two, and we'll review those quickly when we come back, and then we'll keep going with this list. Okay, so we're going to invite you to stick and stay with us, and we'll be right back with you as we take our first public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage on American Muslim 360, your number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Saprita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
And we are back. If you're just tuning in, you're joining. It's all about courtship and marriage, our weekly blog talk program here every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Umma, and our co-host is Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we thank you for joining us this evening. So we'll get started with tonight's program. I don't want to leave this out because it was very interesting last week when we reviewed it in the article, and he stated that when, as a couple, when we get into arguments, we're really arguing with the shaitan. So we kind of talked about that last week and dissected it. And Bina, you want to share your thoughts on that comment?
Well,
you ran over it a couple of times and you came to an understanding about it. It has a lot of. You can look into that comment pretty deeply, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, what our brother says is that, just to bring everybody up on it, he says, let me get there, where was that? He says that in such circumstances, it is prudent to consult the Quran, Allah's guidance, and the hadith of our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. We must also recognize that while love is transient, appearing and disappearing for a while, the marriage tie is holy, H-O-L-Y, and must be safeguarded. As a result, defend yourself, protect yourself from going wrong in your marriage, and bring a target for Shaitan. I'm sorry. Protect yourself from going wrong in your marriage and being a target for Shaitan, who wants nothing more than to sabotage your beautiful union. Remember that when a husband and wife argue, it should be a conflict between them and the Shaitan, not between themselves. So, yeah, that, when I first heard it, I don't know, I was just in a different world. I don't know, I was just reading. Sometimes it takes me time to digest things. I just read it over and over again. And listening to our caller's explanation and giving it time to marinate, I was able to come to the understanding that he's perfectly right. I mean, if we're following what Allah wants us to do, we shouldn't have any argument with each other at all. We shouldn't.
Right.
If we both agree on what Allah is saying, and that's the thing, we should be agreeing on what Allah says. If we're disagreeing, then I don't know. I mean, people can have differences of opinions, but I think the Quran and what Allah says, highly glorified to see, is pretty clear. And
yes,
with both spouses being Muslim, it should be easy to find a reconciliation and find where the mistake might be or where what it is that's not in sync with what we're thinking is, and eliminate that particular thing. And usually that's going to be something that might be injected or interjected into whatever the conversation is from something that was outside of what we normally believe. It's something we have to ponder
yes.
on that is not in sync with our religions. So if it's not in sync
yes.
with what we believe as Muslims, then that's where the problem is, and that's what we should be attacking, and not each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, and,
yeah.
And the beauty of that to me also is that people are on different levels of understanding about what they read in the Holy Quran. That doesn't mean that one is wrong and one is right. Because just like every year we read our Holy Quran at least once every year during Ramadan. And one Ramadan you'll read something and you'll be like, well, I didn't notice this before. I didn't notice this last week. But that's because you have grown in understanding and you have expanded and now, you know, you've elevated and you are understanding more. So if there's a disagreement and people are on different levels of understanding about their reading and studying in the Holy Quran and in the example of Prophet Muhammad, when we have shura and we discuss it, there's room for growth and development to reach an understanding and to take in where someone else is on their understanding and then make decisions that are best for the whole. And we do this also when we speak to our children and when we have family meetings with our children and they're on a level of understanding as a child and we take in their information and we do something or come to conclusions that are best for the whole. This is shura, you know. So I think what he's saying in this particular description even covers that shura. And like you said, at the root of it, it should not be something that disagrees with our religion, that disagrees with our religion. Then, of course, that's where the problem is, you know. And then that is the shaitan on the scene. So alhamdulillah, it was just a lot in that comment.
Yes, it was.
For
yes,
us to consider, you know. So alhamdulillah, and then we went on from there to number one and two that are on his list. And number one was trust.
So big.
Yeah,
so
such
big.
A big topic.
Yeah.
And it says
so it's
that...
It's such a big part.
Go ahead. Yeah,
no,
go
it's
ahead,
just
Dina.
Such a big part. It's such a big part of marriage. Because when you think about it, you don't have to go into a marriage loving someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Allah can bring that love
mm-hmm.
to each other, to you each. So what else do you have to go on? Okay, yes, you have the different qualities of the people that you may observe in them. You may observe their taqwa. You may observe, you know, their giving, their generosity, and those things. And that's one person looking at another. But when you come together, the biggest thing that you have is trust. You trust what the person and who the person appears to be is that. And likewise, that you are who you appear to be and who they've observed you to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's such a huge part of the marriage. So I'm not confused why he hit that subject first.
Yes. yes. And, prior to him bringing up the trust, he said, as servants of Allah, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that the most basic and essential attribute of a Muslim marriage is the common faith that binds us together as a couple, the common faith that binds us together as a couple. So if we're coming together as two Muslims, we're going to be practicing our religion together. This is a common faith that binds us together. And throughout our faith, there is unity, you know, that we should be united, you know. And then he says that here are 21 fundamental building blocks for a strong marriage. And then trust was number one. Trust was number one. And then number two was forgiving. Forgiving. And number two, he says, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his companions, do you wish that Allah should forgive you? They said, of course, O Prophet of Allah. And Prophet Muhammad responded, then forgive each other. And after the trust, one of the main components of a happy marriage is that the spouses are able to forgive, that they do not hold grudges or act judgmental towards each other. It is expected that when we live with someone, situations may arise when we say or do something that hurts the other. The challenge is not to dwell on it or lay blame, but to move past it. This can only happen if we are not too proud to ask for forgiveness and we are not too stingy to forgive. Okay? Not too proud to apologize and ask for forgiveness and not too stingy to withhold it, that forgiveness for the other person. If we practice generosity anywhere, it should definitely be in a marriage. You know, we should be very generous with each other, with forgiveness and mercy, compassion, kindness. We should be generous in those aspects. So as we said last week, this week we're going to start on number three. After forgive, there is forget. Forget. And then we'll go to number four, and I'm going to ask Bina to read number four. And I'm going to read number three, which is forget. And the author states, the imam states, when we constantly remind our spouses of all the times they let us down or hurt us, we have not truly forgiven them. Things that happened in the past must be left there and not be used as fresh ammunition to new situations unless it becomes part of a pattern. He does preface it, unless it becomes part of a pattern. Couples who use this technique usually fall in a rut and become victims of their own pettiness, unable to break free. Now, he says, unless it becomes part of a pattern. So when we have a problem, or we have an issue, and there needs to be some forgiveness, another reason it may come back up again is that the issue was not thoroughly resolved. The issue was not thoroughly resolved, and one, either the husband or the wife, needs some resolution on that particular issue. And because it wasn't resolved, it may become a pattern and be something that is repeated. So when we have issues, we want to find solutions for those issues so we can truly put them to rest. And this will help us be able to put it past us, to forgive and forget it, because this is a hurdle that we have jumped. We have found an issue for this particular, we have found a solution for this particular issue, and we can put it to rest and move past it and not revisit it again because the problem has been solved. So just wanted to make those comments. And Dana, feel free, any comments you'd like to make on that particular topic, and then you can go to number four.
Right. I think that was pretty self-explanatory about, you know, unless it continues. Because, you know, it's like someone doing something out of ignorance or innocence, and then the subject is brought up, and then you want to resolve it, and that's fine. If all parties resolve it, that's good. But it's, I think it's only when things are not done, are done out of ignorance, or they're done knowingly, and then it's a little bit of a different situation. That's, you know, it's like a math problem. You can't go to the next step until you have done everything, you know, until you get it right. You know, your problem's always going to be wrong
until
you
get
it right.
Until you get the correct answer. Yeah.
And
exactly.
That's, you know, there's no judgment on that. It's just you just got to get the problem right. So I'll go to number four. And number four is forbearance. And for instance, he says sabr, or patience. He says forbearance is the most useful tool to have in managing a healthy lifestyle. Being patient and forbearing puts us in a proactive frame of mind. It brings us closer to Allah, highly glorified is he, through tawakkul and reliance. I'm not sure what tawakkul is. I have to look that one up. We develop an inner mechanism that empowers us to handle life's difficult moments. As Allah Almighty states in Surah Al-Asr, surely by time, and this is his translation. Surely, well, I don't know if it's his, but it's the translation that comes with it. Surely by time, humans are lost, are at a loss, except those who believe and do righteous deeds and counsel each other to the truth and counsel each other to patience. And that's the Quran. Surah 103.
Alhamdulillah. Surah Asr. And I looked up tawakkul, and it it is seen, it's the perfect trust in Allah and reliance on him alone. Perfect trust in Allah and reliance on him alone.
Okay.
So, alhamdulillah. Let's see. I'm just going to check the board. Okay, we don't have any callers in the queue. And reliance on Allah is so necessary when we talk about forbearance, when we have to have patience. And we know that we are trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that things happen on Allah's time, and that's exactly when it should happen, which is why we have to have patience with situations and circumstances and answers to prayers. So having patience with your spouses, I won't say issues, but having patience with your spouse, whether it's their development or their understanding or just getting to things or whatever you need to have patience with. It's very important for us to have that type of patience with each other, because Allah is evolving us, stage, evolving us in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, even in guidance. Allah is evolving us. So things may not happen when you particularly want them to happen, but having patience and forbearance is very important in a relationship. So, and then number five is being flexible. Many couples unnecessarily make themselves miserable because they are unwilling to bend a little. We should not expect our spouses to be our extensions. They are their own selves with personalities, likes and dislikes. We must respect their right to be themselves as long as it does not compromise their religion. Being flexible and not accommodating for individual differences leads to a very tense home atmosphere. Leads to a very tense home atmosphere. So having some flexibility. Okay. Let's see. This is a part. Okay. My article, it's some of it's blocked out because of the way I copied it down on my computer. It didn't catch everything.
No problem.
So what do you see as number six after flexible
number six
on yours?
It's friendship. Friendship.
Oh,
and there's a lot up under friendship, too.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad you get to get that one because some of it, I'm missing some of it on my article. So you can go ahead with that.
Okay. That's
well, we do have a caller. We do have caller in the queue. So let's go to our caller first, and then we'll keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
We're tuning in to 321-917. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you. Peace and blessings to the audience and listeners. I wanted to circle back because as you were talking about sober patience, I was thinking about the hadith of the prophet and he and Abu Bakr and some of the companions were together, and I paraphrased this hadith because it had something to do with the Satan involvement in arguments. And the prophet and the companions were sitting, and Abu Bakr was in a discussion where basically someone was what we would call today trashing him, just talking about him bad and et cetera, to his face. And he was sitting there listening. And the prophet, peace and blessings be on the prophet, and Allah's mercy, forgiveness be on the Sahaba's companion. The prophet was smiling while the person was talking about Abu Bakr. And then Abu Bakr started to defend himself. He started to argue back with the person. And the prophet got up and left the room very hurriedly. And Abu Bakr left the room and went after the prophet. And he told the prophet, he said, when he was trashing me, old messenger, you were smiling. But when I tried to defend myself, you got up and left hurriedly. And the prophet told him, he said, when he was trashing you, talking bad to you, the angels were defending you. So the prophet was smiling because there were angels in the room with the companions. And he said the angels were defending you. But when you started to defend yourself, the shaitan came into the room. And he said the prophet said that the prophet and the Satan cannot be in the same room together. So he hurriedly left. So I wanted to, I guess what made that come into mind when we were talking about patience, being patient. When Abu Bakr was being patient, there was no Satan, no shaitan in the room. But as soon as he engaged in the argument, then the shaitan came in the room. I thought that was very worthwhile noting that it takes two to create a problem. It's you know, there's a saying, it takes two. One person doing a fussing and the other one being silent, that's no problem. You know, that's an exercise of patience, an exercise of tolerance. And maybe the other person just needed to vent that day or something. So if the one party is doing it, it's really, there is no Satan in the room. And I think that's what the meaning of that statement is, that once the argument takes place, now the shaitan comes into the room. So once there's backwards and forth, now there's the opportunity for more trouble. So just wanted to share that concept, and thought it was very noteworthy, and dealing with patience as well, because that's part of it, that it takes two impatient people to create a problem. Let me just say it like that. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you for your insight. Very, very noteworthy. We appreciate it. Yes. And when we think about patience is one, sabr is mentioned so often in the Holy Quran. So we know that this is a good characteristic, a good disposition to hold, to be patient and have sabr. It's a disposition where we grow and develop as human beings in the right way. So when we leave those good dispositions and begin arguing, yes, we are off of our foundation, and shaitan can exist in that environment, you know. So that's very noteworthy, that, you know, when we get off of our foundation, the platform that Allah has created us on, you know, we open ourselves up to the influence of the shaitan. So thank you for your insights and sharing your thoughts with us. Alhamdulillah. All right. Bina, back to you. Let's see. We'll read the friendship number six, And then we're going to take our pause for the calls, the top of the hour. So if you'd like to chime in on what's been said after Sister Bina reads number six to us, you can line up in the queue and we'll get right back to you as soon as we get back from our top of the hour commercial break. So go right ahead, Bina.
Okay. Friendship. This aspect of marriage has three components. First is to develop a friendship with our spouses. A marital relationship based on friendship is more able to withstand outside pressures. We honor trust. We honor, trust, respect, accept, and care for our friends in spite of our differences. These are the aspects of friendship we should bring to our marriages. He says here in Sharia, Islamic law, has placed the husband in a leadership role within a family. This requires a certain decorum and mutual respect. This should not be taken to mean that the husband is a dictator, but rather a shepherd who is responsible for and to his flock. This is a position of grave responsibility, and a strong friendship with one spouse will help. The second aspect of friendship is to have friendly relations with in-laws, both husband and wife with each other's in-laws. When couples compete as to whose parents are more important, it becomes a constant source of grief. Much valuable time is wasted trying to convince one another of whose parents are most desirable. It is better if we accept that our spouses will not overnight fall in love with our parents just because we want them to, as long as they maintain friendly relations that are cordial and based on mutual respect. We should not force the issue. The third aspect of friendship is our circle of friends. It is okay to have individual friends, but couples must also make efforts to have family friends so that they can socialize together. If there is friction being caused by a certain friendship, it must not be pursued at the expense of the marriage. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, advised us to choose Allah-fearing people as friends, since we tend to follow their way. Friends should be a source of joy and not mischief.
Alhamdulillah.
A lot said
in that. Okay, so we can toss that over and let that marinate, as Sister Bina says. And if you'd like to comment on anything we've said so far, we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to take our top of the hour station break, and we'll be right back with you. And you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360. Okay, so please stick and stay, and we'll be right back after these public service announcements.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at CWSC.us and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we are back. Thank you for tuning in with us this evening. If you're just joining us again, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And we are, prior to the break, we talked about friendship. We talked about friendship. And it's just so true that if you have friends and you've been friends with them, say you have a friend that you met way back in grammar school and they're still your friend. You've been with that friend through thick and thin, through changes, through puberty, young adulthood, the 40s, age 40, 50, and through all phases of life, you've been with this friend and you all have been friends and you've accepted this friend through all the changes, and it's just been an unconditional relationship where you've accepted the friend, you've accepted the flaws, because there's something about this friend that you love, that you cherish them as your friend. And having that same type of disposition with your husband and wife is just so vitally important, that you can accept a husband and you can accept a wife with their flaws and still love them and support them and try to uplift them and encourage them and be there for them. It's just so important. Sometimes it seems as though the term husband, wife, or marriage really clouds the issue, sometimes in a negative way, where there's ownership or person is now an extension of you, or sometimes you can be more understanding with a friend than a spouse. We don't want to fall into that way of thinking. We don't want to fall into that way of thinking. Now, I know that our prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had a much higher spiritual level of understanding than his wives, than any of his wives. But from what we read and what we study about our prophet's relationship with his wives is that he was never impatient with them, or he never spoke to them harshly, that he was always encouraging. Our prophet was always encouraging and willing to teach and model the religion to help elevate his wives. And in that process, his wives were able to assist him in his work to educate others, even to address issues on his behalf when asked to. So we see this model and how it works, where we don't get impatient with another person because they're not at this point, that point, or because they're not this learned or that learned, or because, you know, they're are not formally educated versus educated. You know, our Imam Muhammad was not formally educated. He didn't graduate from Yale or Harvard or any of those places, but those places wanted him to come there and speak. He said on the World Council of Religion with formally educated people who would hang on his every word. So, you know, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invested in a person, the wisdom, the understanding, the kindness, the good nature, the humanity of a person that we engage with and that we seek to be affected by and uplift and protect those inner qualities, those inner treasures that Allah has given a person. You know, so that we don't become of those who become arrogant with our spouses, that we have humility, and that we follow Prophet Muhammad's example of uplifting each other, being friendly and kind and encouraging with each other. So what he's saying about friendship and how we treat our friends has so much weight to it. Yeah, you know, so you want to establish this type of relationship with your husband and with your wife. And you want to look for this type of relationship and know that this type of relationship can be developed in the courtship process. In the courtship process, it's kind of important to notice where a potential someone that you're courting has friends that they've had for a long time, who they have maintained friendly relationships with for a long time. That shows you that they have some relationship skills, some friendship skills, and that they value friendship, and they've been able to maintain long-term friendship. That's very important, to notice these things during the courtship process and to carry these things on in the marriage process, because it's very valuable disposition to have in a relationship. So, Bina, any other comments from you on this topic before we move on?
Friendship? Yeah. I agree. Friendship is definitely needed. It's something that will last throughout the marriage. It's something that will last from the beginning to the end. If you do develop a strong friendship in the beginning, because with friends you have a tendency to, well, you have something in common that brings the two of you all together. And it's easy to talk to a friend. It's easy to share things with your friends. And it's easy to laugh with friends. And those are those things that are key ingredients in a marriage as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Great segue into number 7. You said it's easy to laugh with a friend. Number 7 is fun, F-U-N, having fun. And number 7 states the couples who do not laugh together have to work on sharing some fun times. Sharing some fun times, creating some fun times, and sharing some fun times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace be on him, was known to play with his wives. A simple walk in the park can add spark to the relationship. Taking up a sport together or watching funny halal movies is another way of sharing a laugh. And also stories, funny stories from your past, sharing those is so important. you know, just not being serious all the time, sharing laughter, the good times, the fun times from the past, and again, creating those special moments as well to enjoy each other. You know, it should be a source of marriage should be a source of enjoyment. You know, we should all married couples should just walk up in the masjid with big, huge smiles on their faces to advertise the importance of what marriage can bring to the community life, you know, and not frowns or, you know, you know, not that that happens, but we have to, in modeling marriage, letting other people know and our young people know that marriage is also not just work. We always say marriage is work, marriage is work, marriage is work. But marriage is also fun and enjoyment. There's fun and enjoyment in marriage as well. So we don't want to forget to highlight that aspect of marriage. The ability to have fun and share laughs together is very important on creating this blissful relationship, inshallah. Okay, I'm going to check the boards and see if we have any hands raised. And we do not. So we can go on with the next one, Sister Bina.
Okay. Faithful. Number 8 is faithful. It is commanded by Allah, highly glorified is he, that we be faithful to our spouses. Adultery is a crime in Islam that is punishable by death. However, there are various forms of unfaithful behavior prevalent among some Muslims. The most common form is maintaining friendships with the opposite sex over the boundaries set by Islam and the misgivings of the spouse. The latest trend of internet relationships via social media sites or messaging apps is also contrary to Islamic etiquette and can cause serious problems between couples. Once the sense of betrayal sets in, repairing that relationship is difficult. Another form of not being faithful is when couples betray confidences. This is a trust issue, and when compromised, it eats away at the heart of a marriage.
Hmm. Yes. Yes, this can definitely cause a problem, especially when there are emotional relationships with members of the opposite sex where they're relying on you emotionally. That is an emotional relationship. So if a spouse says something about that or has some misgivings about that, it should be a discussion that should be taken seriously. And what's more important, the marriage or the relationship? And if you have a long-term relationship with someone, a family friend that you've grown up with, there definitely should not be a relationship with that person and your wife is outside that relationship. If you have that relationship with someone, they should be introduced to your wife and allow them to develop a relationship where you both have a relationship with this person. That can be an answer to that situation as well. But definitely not having relationships with someone and your husband or wife is not a part of that relationship. We should not do that. It can lead to mistrust, doubt, and a door for the shaitan to sneak through as well. Okay. So we have no hands in the queue, so we'll keep going. And after faithful, we have fairness. Number 9 is fairness. And it reads that usually when we are angry or displeased, the tendency is not to play fair. We try to convince ourselves that since we have been wronged, it is okay to be unjust in our behavior or our statements. Allah Almighty in the Quran, do not be unjust under any circumstances, even if they be your enemy. In this circumstance, we are talking about our life partners and the parent of our children. To use words such as never and always when describing the behavior of a partner is unfair and puts the other person on the defensive, on the defense. Yes. And it's so easy to fall into that pattern of speech sometimes. Well, you never do this, or you're never here on time, and you never do this, you never do that, you know, and it's just not true. And it can make the other person think that, do you even notice when I do things? You know, are we living in the same house? You know, I just took out the trash yesterday. What do you mean I never take out the trash? You know, or, yeah, saying things that are unfair just to get a point across. You know, we just have to work on our communication better. We have to be better communicators when things are irritating us or when talking about a problem. Learning to communicate better to facilitate a better conversation. We have to take the time to do that. But many times couples are always in a rush and they just want to get to it quickly and be a little dramatic, and you never, and all those things start flying out, you know. We should look at that as being unfair, you know. Yes.
Yes. It seems so easy to forget why we got married in the first place sometimes. And, you know, when you're thinking about, well, when we think about how we want to be treated, if we're getting up and we're praying together and we're watching each other do things that we do and we're doing things, fitabili love, for the sake of Allah, those words are unjust because, you know, different things happen all the time. Now, nobody, that's a general statement to say you always do this or you never do that. That's very general, and that's unfair to say to anyone, I think. It's unfair, and it does cause people to feel a certain way. But when we're in marriage and we are getting to know each other, and, you know, we have to remember we came together for specific reasons. We've maintained the marriage. We're going through things. And guess what? You're going to go through things whether you're married or not. But the good thing is that when you go through things with your spouse, you have a friend, somebody else you can, you know, you can go through things with. You don't go through these things alone. So it is a lot. It takes a lot to consider other people's feelings and have empathy and patience to try to see where the other person is coming from. And I don't even consider that really work. It's just something that we have to do in life. It's something we have to do to please Allah. And that relationship with our marriage is like that first relationship that we're growing in terms of building Ummah. So that takes kindness, it takes patience, it takes believing in Allah, that Allah will help our situation if we're both believers. And we'll get to the good. I mean, understanding our deen It means that we're going to have the good and the bad. We're going to have difficulty and we're going to have ease. And that's throughout life, whether we're married or not. So it's a blessing to be able to go through that with another person as opposed to being by yourself, because that's how Allah created us, to be in pairs. So we got to look at working things out together, not take each other for granted. And then by practicing fairness, we can continue to stay on the upswing of our relationship, because there are going to be those times that things are just not going to be like the way we like. But then there's nothing we can really do about them. We kind of ride through them. And if we're practicing our religion, Allah will bless us if we desire to have a blissful marriage. And I'll stop there.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. And working together is so key. You know, so if you say you go to the masjid, and you walk in and people are getting tables and everything out. You're getting ready to have an iftar. Everybody's getting these tables out and getting the chairs out and working together to try to get the iftar together. And you just see that happening, and you walk in and you just join in and you start getting the tables out and the chairs out and everything. And everybody's just working together like this as a team without anybody asking, because you see that this is what has to be done. You know, do we do that at home? Do we do that at home and just see someone doing something, walk in into the home and there's something, there's movement and things are happening and taking place? Do we do that at home and come in and join in on that movement and what's taking place in the home? Or do we just go sit down and pick up the remote? Say, you all keep going. Y'all doing a good job. You know? Yeah. And I'm just bringing that out to say that Working together goes a long way to drive home the point that we are a team. So whatever is taking place in this environment, I'm a part of it. And it's going to make it easier on someone else. Yeah. Working together in those capacities will help also facilitate that you never, you know, to you always help us, you know. Our children will say, well, Dad, you come home from work and we know you're tired, but you always find time to play with us, or you always sit and talk to us. You want those you nevers to be replaced with you always, so that you always show your concern about what's going on at home, and you always talk to us. Are you always involved? You know, whether you're tired or whether it's your day off, you know, you want those you always moments there. You know, so it's important to be present in what's going on, the energy in the house, and doing things without being asked, just because they're necessary, and you're working together as a team with the other person. If we do this physically, that translates also into mental and spiritual connections and being together. So I just wanted to make those comments, and we'll get back to our article.
That was a very good point. That was a very good point you made. You know, I like that analogy that you use with when, you know, coming into the masjid. Because when you see something that's going on like that, you know, you feel that spirit, especially when you go to the masjid. That same spirit should be in your household. It should be the happy spirit. You should be building that same spirit in the house. And it's not that one person has one thing that they're supposed to be doing all the time, unless you all have this agreement or this contract that this is how it's done. But even in that, even in a contract, still going beyond and still deciding that, oh, but they need help with this and I can do this and I'm okay with this, and thinking about pleasing Allah and the blessings that you get for being charitable. I mean, there's never too much that you can do in terms of charity. And there's never a time that there's always a time that you can be charitable. And it only goes to help you. It goes to help you. Just getting involved, just doing something, just, you know, when you, yeah, just nobody, it's like not having to ask. It's like when you, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
it goes a long way.
Yeah, I like that.
It goes.
Yeah,
it goes a very, very long way. Yeah, because it's like,
yeah,
the other person.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I used to see the brother, and so many people know this too. And his brother Yusuf Muwakil in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that brother never sat down. It didn't matter what was going on at any affair. It didn't matter who was giving it, because they have so many committees and groups doing things, but I never used to see this brother sit down. Whatever it was that was going on, he involved himself in it. And he was so loved by everyone in the community. I mean, everyone loved him. Everyone knew him. It didn't matter where across the country. People knew him because wherever he went, he did that. He just did it. He just volunteered. It's just nothing was too big, whatever. He just pitched in and he did. And he never really asked for anything. He was just, he was the lovable. He was always smiling. And everyone had so many good things to say about him. And I don't think he did that just to have that, someone say that. But that's just the type of person he was.
And you can feel that person has a love of the community, that he loved the community, and he loved the fact that he was a part of the community, and this was his community, and his energy was going to be put toward this community, you know. And so that's what we want our children to see from us, that we love our home, and we're going to pitch in and help. We're going to help with homework. We're going to help. We're going to cook. We're going to clean. We're going to keep our home in tip-top shape. You know, we're going to try to make sure we have what we need. This is model. This is modeling, you know. And most children don't have to ask their parents to take care of them, you know. This is something that parents do. So this is something that, as couples, we have to do for each other, to take care of each other, to put your energy towards and invest your energy in the relationship, physically, mentally, spiritually. Your energy is present in the relationship, okay? And this will help curtail those "you never" statements, you know, because it's present. The energy is present in the relationship, in the atmosphere, in the environment, and it's on display, and it's in motion.
Yes. It's contagious, and it's contagious, and it doesn't take anything away from you to do it.
Usually when you see people doing things like that,
It becomes a contagious. Everybody just, when they see that spirit, everybody just pitches in. It's contagious.
Yeah, everybody pitches in. Yeah, my children used to tell me, what did they tell me? They said that I need the energy. I need other people's energy in the room. And it's infectious. And this is a process. If you have a big task in a house, say you're a single mother and you have six, seven, 8 children. You're the only one doing this. You're working and working and working, you know, and you just cleaned up. Somebody put something where you just put it down. It's so draining. You know, it's so draining. Like, I just cleaned that spot. You're putting something there, you know, and you just, you kind of, you know, it brings that out of you. But when everybody sees you working and they say, oh, let's help Ma, I could work forever. You know, because it's like it's support for the work. It's appreciation for the work. There's help. We can get a lot more done with everybody working, you know, and we can get some tasks completed. So it's just very important to let your energy flow in the areas that you love. Let your energy flow and be present and mm-hmm. and helping and serving each other. So, okay, just extremely important. Okay, so we were on number 9. That came out of number 9, fairness, right? we number 10 is finance. We didn't get to finance yet. But let me check the board. Okay, we don't have anyone in the queue, so we can keep going. And we're going to read finance, and then we're going to take our station break. And if you have anything you'd like to share on anything that's been said, please press 1 and come into the queue. So finance.
Who's reading that one?
Is that you or me?
I forget.
Okay, well, let's say it's you. I've just been talking quite a bit, so you can just go right ahead.
Okay, finance. Number 10 is finance. One of the most common points of contention in marriages is money. It is therefore highly recommended that the couple put serious time and effort in developing a financial management plan that is mutually agreeable and is reviewed every 6 months or so. Preparing a budget together is also a helpful and wise way to handling household finances. It should be remembered that the wife's money in Islam is hers to do with as she pleases, and therefore should not be considered family income unless she chooses or agrees to contribute it to the family.
Okay. So everybody's got that on finances. We're going to take our pause here, and we're at the bottom of the second hour, and we're going to take our station break. So think about that, and if you have any comments or concerns or thoughts about that, please feel free to press 1 and come into the queue, and we'd love to hear from you. So please stick and stay with us. We'll be right back after these public service announcements.
Since 1989, Saturna Capital has focused on the importance of sustainable business management.
Originally, Saturna began faith-based investing to meet client needs. They needed a financial product that wouldn't produce interest.
We thought that why can't we have something which is nationwide and people can, you know, pull their money in. And that's where I start exploring the idea of a mutual fund.
A mutual fund, incidentally, is a very Islamic concept. It's everybody puts your money in and you share in the results. So that's a very fair, very Islamic way to invest.
Biggest accomplishment I can think of and thankful for to God will be that we are helping people to do the right things.
Founded on principles of integrity to clients and a commitment to low fees, over its 30 years of growth, Saturna has broadened its successful approach to faith-based investing to include a focus on sustainable metrics.
We think that the kind of rules that Islamic investing, social responsible investing, are really very close to the same thing.
We view investing as a business partnership. We're seeking to identify companies with whom we can partner, feel good about the way that they manage their business, the way they approach diversity amongst their executive suite and within their board of directors, the way they treat their employees, their communities, the environment.
To set an example, Saturna is eager to showcase how we practice ESG at home, focusing on employee wellness, community engagement, and environmental initiatives.
We translate these things every day from promoting philanthropy within our community and within our organization to establishing groundbreaking products that people have never seen before.
Saturna Capital is dedicated to industry leadership in values-based global investing.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And just wanted to play that particular PSA since we're talking about number 10, which is finances. And, you know, I just want to ask the question to the radio audience and to all of us. That he says in the article that it's one of the most common points of contention in marriages, money. Our relationship with money, the relationship with money that we have today, is so unbalanced. You know, I think about what we've read of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that they would compete to come home with their pockets empty. With their pockets empty, that they've given zakat and sadaqah out to everyone else, so coming home with the pockets empty was a good thing. You know, that frame of mind. I used to hear that hadith a lot, but I don't hear it so much anymore when talking about money and financing. Do we think that our relationship with money today is healthier or unhealthy, that it can cause a marriage to dissolve? Or do we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and sustain us and guide us in this manner? Because Allah tells us he can bless us from his far-reaching bounty, that all bounty belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when does it get to a point where this relationship with money becomes so unhealthy that it can destroy a relationship? Everyone is different. I know. Some people cannot tolerate or function in a relationship where they are overcome by debt. They don't want to live that. Living like that creates anxiety and creates pressure. You know, so how can we get to a point where we are more relaxed about money? And I think that it was different when we look back at our past. Many of our ancestors owned property outright. They didn't have mortgages. They owned property outright, And in addition to that, they grew their own food and had their own cattle and their own chickens and everything. That takes a lot of pressure off of a couple to be able to live that way. And there's nothing in between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sustenance. You pray for rain, for sure, to sustain the gardens, sustain the land, and for the cattle and everything. But being so reliant on money and credit and savings, that the way we live now, is that creating this relationship that we have with money, where families break up because of the perceived threat? And then Allah lets us know also that Shaitan will threaten us with fear and loss. You know, so is it the fear of loss, the fear of becoming destitute, the fear of being overcome by debt, all these fears that drive us to divorce court as well? So this is something that definitely should be looked at in the courtship process. A person's relationship with money, finances, savings, debt, what our relationship with money is, the level of responsibility, or what you consider irresponsible with money, all these things. It's a system of living. It's a system of how we live and how we manage our lives that should be given a lot of attention to and conversation when you're courting and getting to know someone. It's very important. And the author even suggests that you revisit this conversation periodically. What was it, every couple of months, or let's see.
I think he mentioned about every 6 months.
About every 6 months. Every 6 months or so. Especially for a young family starting out, because you have projections in the future, whether it's for going to Islamic schools or going to college or housing or whatever. You're saving up for things, to buy things. So that's something that's fluid that you wanna meet with and check in on, and make sure you're on track for the projections that you have. But also for senior couples, you know, how you manage money is very important, very, very important, and how that money is spent. Are you a philanthropist? When we were at the 65th anniversary dinner gala for the Atlanta Masjid, there were a lot of pioneers pledging big sums of money for the gala towards a community development. And this is what they have invested their life in, like you spoke about the brother, Mawakil. They've invested their lives in this, so that's something they want to continue. You know, these conversations that you have with somebody that you are courting, especially for seniors, you know, letting them know what you have invested your life in, what's important to you, or teaching or training the next generation, or, you know, building community, you know, how your time, what your energy is towards, how your money is invested and spent, you know, and things that are important to you. Knowing this system, financial system that people live with, is one of the foundations one of the four birds, the economics of a family, of a relationship. So make sure during courtship that you're given that the attention that it deserves. And we have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to our caller, Bina, at 314-833. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam to you, Manira Habil, and to our beloved sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio, Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. I tell you, I'm taking a lot of notes. I hear this is an excellent topic, and Manira and you and Bina are doing an excellent job, a lot of great information. I wanted to go back. It seemed like, I don't know if it's in alphabetical order, in terms of friendship, fun, and one other that it's not registering right now. But I do want to make a statement because you're talking about money and how it may have affected people today, when it obviously didn't affect at least probably our parents or grandparents, just even in our own time and everything. I always like to go to the Quran first and foremost. You know, when we talk about things. Allah speaks about two in the Quran, two extremes. One extreme, he speaks about the spendthrift, the spendthrift.
Yeah.
How that one is influenced by the shaitan. And that was excellent what, you know, Imam Delacy Umar came on and said. And the other extreme that Allah speaks about is the miser. The miser. And so we know what a miser is. It's tight, stingy, don't want to give anything in that regard. And so we look at also what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in terms of the four reasons why one would marry. One of them is in terms of wealth. What am I saying, and probably say as very succinct as I possibly can, it becomes the prioritization that we have in our life. Oh, and by the way, there in Atlanta, it needs to be noted that there were some young people, young business people that Allah blessed to be very, very successful. That's how they was able to raise $5.5 million, almost $6 million there. Very successful business people, too. It makes me reflect when he was speaking. It's something my grandmother taught me when I was coming up. She only went to fifth grade in a Mississippi school. So she always would say, I don't have much education, but I got a lot of mother wit. And I used to just hang around in the kitchen a lot of times when my siblings were out playing, just to watch her cook, but also just to hear her words of wisdom. And one of the words of wisdom that I'm going to put in the pamphlet, inshallah, what I call wow, words of wisdom. She says, baby, she said, always remember that you make money, don't let money make you.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say any more. But if you think about it, how many people do we know that money makes them, and they just don't make money? But those two extremes, we have to guard against being the miser, but we have to also guard being the spendthrift, too. Because that can and will cause problems and issues in your relationship. The prioritization, the realization of what is supposed to be at the forefront. And I think you mentioned it early on, the beginning of your production, is being God conscious, but being consciously regardful, that is what Imam Muhammad said. But, you know, if you turn it around, what is Imam saying? Conscious regardful of what God's word is in regards to the type that's extreme. So in Al-Islam, it is the middle course that you have to take, not to be the miser, but not to be the spendthrift. Because then you are going to be in need. And when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the indication, and we've heard it before, the hand that is giving is better than the hand that's receiving. Because why is that so? Because the hand that's giving is in a better position to give. You see, so you want to be, at some point in your life, you want to be a hand that is giving as opposed to the hand that's always looking to receive in that regard. This is words of wisdom. You know, I think it's Islamic base. And if we would have that as a mindset and a disposition, then it won't be an issue when it comes to money. My grandfather was the breadwinner. He worked construction, but he was a laborer for a long time. We thought he was actually building stuff, but he was a laborer. Yes, he was a part of it, but he was a laborer. But he was not a good money manager. My grandmother, who did day work periodically, you know, cleaning homes for Caucasian people, that is, she was the manager. And boy, did my grandmother know how to save money and put money away. And I never forget when his truck broke down, he went to my grandmother and asked her. He called her baby and she called him honey. And that's what I never heard them call each other by first name. But he said, baby, he said, we need to get a new truck. Are we able to afford a new truck? Yes, my grandmother had saved enough money to buy it outright, but she didn't do that. But she had saved money, whereas then when they was in need of something, they had it. This may vary from relationship to relationship. So as you well know, that premarital questionnaire in terms of money management, I think that's a good document to have. Because after you find out in terms of the work history, it goes right to money management. And who's best in terms of actually managing? Now, it could flip. It's like my grandmother and grandfather. And my grandfather, he trusted my grandmother. He would bring his check home, and she was the banker. And she gave him an allowance. I know some of you might laugh about that. But if he spent all that money up, what he got for that week, he was in trouble. And when we got older, he used to borrow money from us. He had to pay it back.
Alhamdulillah.
I just wanted to just say that it's a little humor, but it's true. It's a true story. I'm just sharing that personally. But I do want to, if I may take a couple more minutes here, I do want to say something about friendship. And you all gave so much information, and I just want to just share things that I've taught for years, and you know that very well, the True Love Recipe. Those two F's that you gave is in my True Love Recipe, which is friendship and fun. Friendship and fun. Friendship, the social dynamic many, many years ago, would develop naturally. What do you mean? In the fact that oftentimes you grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, the same recreational centers, and your parents knew those children that you played with, went to school with, recreation and all of that, and other activities, they knew their parents and vice versa. And generally speaking, the teaching was basically the same and the first social institution in human society, which is family life. They were teaching them basically the same values and principles. Why is that so important? Because you got to know those persons that eventually became your friends just through social interaction. Today, it's a lot different. The social dynamic is totally different today, where oftentimes you meet people that you don't grow up with. Ideally speaking, they would go to the same masjid or Islamic center, the same city, or not in the same state, but the same city, and the same masjid. So courtship becomes very, very important. What should naturally develop as a wordologist is the word bonding. It means to build on natural development in nurturing growth. What do you mean build on natural development? So that friendship that we talk about, if in fact that you enter that, you don't know them and they don't know you, at least in the courtship phase, friendship should develop. And if in fact that you see that it could be a partnership, the friendship should develop to the point whereas that you become the best of friends. And I heard you say that oftentimes when that don't happen, you can have real serious problems, because if in fact that it is that you know that this person that is your soulmate is actually your friend, then it's a difference how you talk to your friend and everything. And a commonality, I think, that you mentioned, Monero, just very important. I know you don't have much time, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I do think that's very, very important. The ultimate goal is for your spouse to become your best friend and you become their best friend. And if you notice something about those persons that have longevity in their marriage, a healthy, harmonious marriage, oftentimes you will hear this said, that's my best friend. And they'll say, that's my best friend. And then one last thing, and I'm done in terms of fun. Fun is in the true love, in my true love recipe, and I hope it is in others, because the sacred institution of marriage should be fun. And you're talking about laughter, you're speaking about laughter, and you're right on point. But just to show you that Allah didn't leave anything out. So if you go to Surah 53, 43 of the Quran, Allah has a few words there, but it's an ayat. It's an instructing sign. And God says, and he bestowed laughter and tears. He gave to the human being laughter and tears. And I thought about that for a long time. And what came to me was simply this. Laughter and tears is a mercy. It's a mercy to the human being. Because just think, we are emotional. We have an emotional aspect to ourselves as human beings. But laughter and tears become a means of expression of that. Laughter and tears. Yes. We'd be able to laugh. We'd be able to laugh at others. We'd be able to laugh at each other. We'll be able to laugh together. And we'll be able to laugh at ourselves. And so that's a mercy that Allah has extended to us. I could say a lot more, as you well know, but I'll stop there because it's all about marriage. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum as-salam. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in and sharing. We appreciate it. And I like that saying, we make money. You make money. Don't let money make you. I like your grandmother's words of wisdom. All right, Bina, we're wrapping up another week, another program. You have your closing comments for tonight's show?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Allah, for bringing us to another Tuesday, inshallah. And I'm praying that everybody is well during this week and that we have had something to share that was useful, and that Allah will bless us with those things that we said that were useful and forgive us for those things that might not have been as He would have been pleased with. But inshallah, we're striving to get better.
Yes, alhamdulillah. We're out of time for tonight. We've gone past our cutoff time. And we thank everyone for being with us here this evening. And I think we're going to pick back up next week right here at this point on finances and talk about that a little more, because it is one of the number one reasons why people divorce. And we want to look at it and examine our relationship with finances and make sure we understand how it can affect a relationship. So if there's anyone that did want to make a comment tonight, hold your thought, hold your comment, jot it down, make a note, and come back with us next week at the top of the hour, and we would love to hear from you. All right, and don't forget to tune in to this show tomorrow morning right here on AM 360.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And we do thank you for being here with us this evening. And we're going to end our program with Fearing Thee by our brother Wali Ali.
Sinner. what made him love enough to go out and face the world.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so again, thank you for being here with us this evening. On behalf of our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Dia, and myself, we extend to you the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Please come back next week and bring a friend, inshallah. See you then.